Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Amen. Thank you. Good to see you all tonight. And we're looking at the subject of wisdom on Wednesdays. And so, thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Just a little review. Who does God say was the wisest man who ever lived? All right, you got 10,000 points for all of you who answered that. Okay, wonderful. Hang on to those, okay? All right. And let me ask you, where did he get his wisdom from? How did he get this wisdom from God? He asked for it. He just simply asked for it. How do you get wisdom from God? You ask with faith. Okay? You believe that after you've asked for it, according to James 1:5, that he'll give it. Because he's very generous about giving. But Solomon's request when he asked for wisdom was more than just asking for knowledge and understanding. Actually, in the Hebrew, when he asked for wisdom, the more specific word in Hebrew was he was asking for a hearing heart. That I can hear you, God. That I'll know when you're speaking to me versus somebody else speaking to me or my circumstances or my emotions. I want to know for sure that you are speaking to me. I want to hear your voice. That's really what he was asking for. If I'm going to be the leader of Israel, you've appointed me this task, then more than anything in this life, what I need is more than riches, more than money, more than fame, more than success. I need to hear you. Because that's the source of all success. That's really what Solomon's request was. Before I go any further, don't let me forget, I'm promoting now, come out Friday night for Cookies and Carols. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have professional carolers who do this all over. In fact, somebody told me today they were over in Tampa this morning, like on a television show, and so it's a pretty big deal. So come out Friday night, and it's a great time to invite your neighbors. People are looking for things to do at Christmas time, so come out Friday night. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now back to this subject. So Solomon was asking for a hearing heart, and the reason he was asking for a hearing heart was because, as we looked last week, Isaiah 55, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think like you. My ways are different from what you're used to. I don't do things the way you do them. I do them a different way. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are a lot higher than your thoughts." So we need God's wisdom. And to be able to discern and pick up on what his ways are and his thoughts are. And to get that, we need to be able to hear from him. He says, now, right after this verse, in these verses in Isaiah, look what the Lord says in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return without watering the earth to make it bud, so shall my word that comes out of my mouth, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish which I please. It will prosper in the thing that I send it." So, putting this together, we see wisdom is hearing God's word from his mouth to you. I keep breathing into this. Is this, can I just use the handheld? Okay, guys. So, wisdom is hearing God, his word, from his mouth to your heart. Okay. God speaks. How many of you say with absolute certainty you have heard God speak to you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's not an audible voice, although there are some people that say, I heard an audible voice. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I certainly know over years how to recognize when God is speaking to me through His Word, through circumstances, through people, through things we call coincidences that are really not coincidences. And so let me ask you a question. What has God said to you lately? Slow down. Okay. Good. Ask. Be faithful. Okay. Be humble. Good. Yeah. Ask and receive. Yeah. You know, you recognize if it's God or just a random thought by does it relate to His Word? Does it agree with His Word? That's your checkpoint. You know. Because sometimes we can get it wrong, but God is talking to you. He's talking to you through the Scriptures. When you read the Bible, you should read the Bible as if this is God talking to me. God is talking to me. It's not just a coincidence that I'm reading something in the Bible at this particular moment. He's talking to me. What is He saying to me? What is He communicating to my life, to my issue? God speaks to you through dreams. How many of you ever had a dream that you believe God gave you a dream? Wow. Look at you. You guys are weirdos. No, you're right. God does speak to you through dreams. And why does God bother to speak to us through dreams? What'd you say, Nancy?
We're probably relaxing our mind as it rests and can listen.
Yeah, we're not so easily distracted. That's exactly where we're finally at a place of rest. You got to be in a place of rest to really hear and recognize God, or else you'll just be off to the next thought that comes to your mind. Coincidences. God just makes things happen. You just happen to be at a certain place at a certain time and meet a certain person. You say, what a coincidence. Yeah. No. God is involved in the details of our life. Now, you know, there were Old Testament prophets and there were New Testament prophets, and there was a difference. In the Old Testament, God spoke through prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the major prophets and the minor prophets, and He would send prophets on assignments to kings and to certain people to deliver messages or to deliver warnings and so forth. In the New Testament, they're still prophets, but they are different in the sense of how they operate. The New Testament prophets, according to 1 Corinthians 14, and we can all prophesy by the way, if you have the Spirit of God, if you're born again, you can prophesy. You should. And you prophesy, you learn to prophesy by prophesying. And 1 Corinthians 14 says, so that all may learn. So, you know, we're going to get some right, we're going to get some wrong, but we need to learn to listen to the Spirit of God. And prophecy is just divine utterance. God giving you something to edify somebody, to comfort somebody, to encourage somebody. That can be a prophetic leading, a prophetic word. And we all should be part, that's just prophecy is a part of our life. So in New Testament prophets, though, when a person comes up and gives you a word of encouragement that you believe that was the Spirit of the Lord in giving them a prophecy to me, give me encouragement to me, it's usually a confirmation of what you already had in your heart. Amen. You know, that agrees with my spirit. You know, what you said, I believe God's been trying to show me through a series of events the same thing. And what you said just encouraged my heart, or just confirmed in my heart what God has been leading me to do. So, we believe in prophets. There are people here, Prophet Pamela Undrew. Did I say that right?
Yes.
For the first time. How many years have I known you? I finally got you. But she's had prophetic words for our church and for us and for us at Living Waters at one time. That was really right on the moment God gave a prophetic word through her. And how many of you have said, I've had prophetic words that I've given to people that I believe God inspired me to speak it, and I went and I spoke it? Well, have you ever had a time where you believe God gave you a divine utterance and you were supposed to speak it, and then it came the moment and you didn't give it?
Yeah.
Whew, I feel better now. I had that happen this past week. I had is during intercession on Monday morning, and I had a doctor appointment that afternoon, and during intercession, I wrote down some things that I think I was supposed to tell my doctor, and I wrote them down and prayed about it some more after intercession. But when I got to the doctor's office, just for some reason, I didn't deliver it. And I felt bad driving away, like, God, what am I supposed to do? The reason I didn't give it, because I didn't have 100% certainty in my heart that I was supposed to give it. Nothing bad. And so between the time I got that word and the time that I had the opportunity to give that word to the doctor, and I didn't, I believe the enemy talked me out of it. Gave me reasons to doubt. So now I'm hanging on to this word. Either I'm going to go back and deliver it like I should. So what I'm saying is, when God gives you a word, he's trusted you to give somebody something. But I let myself be talked out of it by the enemy. It does happen. Yeah. And we don't know what that word, I looked at it and I thought, what's it going to be? It's not really that much. How do you know? You have to take the risk. You have to take the risk. We love it when we give a word and somebody says, oh, that was just what I needed to hear. They break down and crying, but sometimes they don't give any response. Sometimes you give it and they just go, okay, thanks. And you think, well, they think I'm a kook. Well, it doesn't matter what they think about you. Yeah, thank you, Gary. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So I'm with you. There are sometimes we are obedient and we do what we're supposed to do and we trust God, and then sometimes we miss it. So we're learning. And you know the great thing about this? The next morning when I, again, first thing in the morning, spent time with God and started talking to him about it, he never once condemned me. There wasn't a condemning voice. I confessed. I said, Lord, I blew it. I should have just went ahead and done that. Why didn't I do that? I don't know why. Did I feel insecure? I don't know, God. I just don't know. Yeah, he says, you're learning. You're learning. So when we have prophetic words to give, you know, it's because God's trying to give encouragement to somebody who needs it. He knows what's going on in their life. We don't know those details. So many times, here's the point of this. God's wisdom just doesn't make sense to us sometimes. He'll tell you to do something, and like me, I just got talked out of it. Like, no, I don't want, no, you don't need to hear that. And, well, you don't know. It doesn't make sense to you. God's wisdom doesn't make sense to you. We have a friend who's been to Grace Tabernacle when we first started, I think a couple times. He's the man who carried the cross around the world. You may have heard his name. His name is Arthur Blessed. He started in a church, in a Baptist church on Sunset Strip out in California. And the Lord spoke to him one day, something that didn't make sense. The Lord said to him, take the cross off the outside of your church building, take it down, and start walking around town with it. What? He told him, I want you to take the cross off a certain day this week and start walking around town with that cross, carrying that cross. Well, on the very day that he planned to start, suddenly he had to be hospitalized. He had a headache. He went into the hospital. They said, hey, they examined him, did CAT scans or whatever they did back then, and said, hey, you have a brain tumor. You're going to have to be hospitalized. This was the day that he felt impressed by the Lord to start carrying this cross. And he said, you have a brain tumor and you're going to die if you leave the hospital. You can't leave the hospital. He had to do what all of us have to do. You got to answer the question, what has God said to me? What is God saying to me? The doctors are telling me I have a brain tumor and I'm going to die if I leave the hospital. My family's telling me too, stay in the hospital, don't leave. God wouldn't want you to go out and die of a brain tumor. But what do I believe God has told me to do? And he said these words, and I quote him. He said, I'd rather obey God and die trying to do what he told me to do than to lay here and die in a hospital bed. forget that testimony. That was awesome to me. I hope I would do the same thing. I hope you would do the same thing. If I believe God said something to me, I need to do that, no matter what it costs me. Because the enemy is going to come and challenge you immediately. The enemy is going to try to talk you out of it. The enemy is a sly dog. I mean, he really is a... You don't want to start talking to the devil because he can out-talk you. He can talk you out of things. So what has God said to me? Today, Arthur is still alive. He lives out in California now. He's 81 and he's still carrying the cross.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think this is in order. Before I went on my cruise, my neighbor, how old is he? 86 or 87. I was impressed in my heart to go witness to the man. And so I told my wife, I got to go down there and see him. And I went down there. They say one of the neighbors that told me he go in and out. And I walked into the place and spoke to his wife and looked at him. I said, your neighbor here? And he looked at me, eyes closed. And I know you're Catholic, so I said, look here, I came to talk to you about Jesus Christ. I said, do you want to hear about Jesus? You want to know him? I said, I believe you know about heaven and hell. I said, you don't want to go there. Do you want to talk and know about Jesus? And I said, if you hear me, that's all right. You hear me, squeeze my hand. And he squeezed my hand.
Oh, he was unconscious.
Yeah, going in and out or whatever he was doing. And I talked to him about Jesus. And I took him through the sinner's prayer and prayed for him. And I saw the look on his face. He seemed like he began to move and get happy. And I kept on praying with him. I said, you just met Jesus. And I said, if anything happened to you, you would be in heaven with Jesus. And you'd be walking around all day. You'd be walking all around here. I see you walk around every day. And he smiled and smiled. And I could see his feet working. And that was on Thursday, I think it was. I go on cruise and come back on Saturday the 17th. We left on the 9th. And he died that Saturday afternoon. I'd have been hurting if I hadn't witnessed to him and went on cruise and come back and this man died. That's a bad feeling, Pastor. I made up my mind. I don't care what it is, whatever you tell me to do, whether I think it's wrong or right, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be just like that man with that cross. I'm going out there. If I die, I die working for the Lord. And I thought I would say that to you because it seemed like it was time to say this. Thank you, Pastor.
That's a good testimony, brother. Wow, that just happened. Wow. His wife's making arrangements. Wow. You were right on time, brother. You were right on time. You could have ignored that. You could have said, Mep, I'm not doing it today. I got other things to do. Wow. That God bless you, brother. You'll probably see him in heaven. He'll come up and be one of the first ones that hug you. That's awesome. That is awesome. Pursuing wisdom is pursuing God. God, I want to hear you. What has God been saying to you? Sometimes it takes a while. I don't know about you. Sometimes I don't get it always, like real clear, like Monday morning intercession. I'm writing down some things, but it's not real clear. God, what am I to do with this? What am I supposed to do? Sometimes it takes a while. So I encourage you to always have a notebook of some kind with you, to write things down that you believe God's trying to get you to see, highlight to you, something you read, a song you hear, a phrase, a scripture that just stands out to you as you read it. This is how God communicates to you. You got to put these things together. You string them together like popcorn on a string to get the full message. And I recommend you write things down. Talk to God about it some more. Like I'm going to talk to God about this more. Now, God, what do I do now? Do I just go back and deliver? What do you want me to do? You know, I prayed that I'd run into the doctor somewhere. That would have been a real good confirmation, and that'd been easy. But that may be too easy. Maybe I need to repent and go back and say, you know, I believe the Lord spoke to me, and I was supposed to give you this word, and I didn't do it. I wasn't obedient. So here I am now, and I'm giving you this word. I've done that before. And it's still been a right now word for people. So if you've got a word that you believe God told you to give to somebody, it's been years. You know that word's still alive? You can still give it. You can still give it. God tells us secrets sometimes. I'm going to tell you a secret that God told me. Well, I won't tell you the whole secret. So it'll still be a secret. God told me. He told me one time about somebody, just out of the blue. I wasn't even praying about them. Talking about, I came in from the back porch and came inside. And as I was coming in the door, he told me that so-and-so doesn't have long to live. I mean, it shocked me out of the blue. And I didn't know what to do with that. And I started praying about it. I said, God, does that mean you want me to go talk to, this is a saved person, a Christian. Do you want me to, what do you want me to do with this? And nothing came. And I shared with my wife about it, and there was no reason to believe that. Person was perfectly healthy and living life to the fullest. So then you begin to question, am I hearing right, God? This is just something I ate. You know? 6 months later, that person died. Suddenly. And I still struggle with God. Why did you tell me that? Because there was no message I was to bring to them. There was nothing I was to, to do with that. Why did you tell me that? My only conclusion is, sometimes God shows you things just to show you that He's showing you. Or He tells you things ahead of time so that you can have the confidence that you're hearing Him. But there was nothing for me to do. I wasn't to go to that person. There wasn't anything I was to do with that. But it happened exactly like He said. And I went, wow, you're showing me that you really are talking to me. Because sometimes I doubt myself. Sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. Like talking myself out of giving a prophecy. So we have to grow in confidence. God is so gentle with us. You know, God's wisdom comes in a variety of packages. Dreams. I've been having a lot of dreams lately. I write them down, and they're bizarre. They're weird. And I write them down, and then many times after I wake up, I write them down at night because I'll forget them by morning. Write them down. Keep a little pad of paper by your bed. Write them down. And then in the morning, ask God about it while you're fresh. And listen to the Spirit of God. You'd be surprised somehow He'll connect the dots for you. Why does God do it that way? Why don't He just speak directly? I don't know. He's creative. He likes to create a movie and tell you things. So God's wisdom comes in a variety of packages. Look at this in Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Attend to my words. That's the word that a horse's ears are cupped, you know. And horses can turn their ears every which way around. He's saying in the same way, when you hear my word, your spirit recognizes my spirit talking to you through circumstances, through a movie, through a book, through something, your ears should perk up. Your ears should be turning to recognize God's speaking to me through this. Through the word or whatever. Turn your attention to it. Pay attention to it. Stop what you're doing and don't let your ears be distracted by other things. But pay attention to that one thing that you know God's speaking to you through that incident right now. Turn your attention to it. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 21. Proverbs 4:21. Keep it in the midst of your heart. There you go. Now, God has given us a filter. So, everything we see and hear should be filtered through the Word of God. Everything. Holy Spirit, help me filter this dream through your word. And he goes on to say, verse 22, for they are life to all who find them and health to all their flesh. The words of God are life. And several times already in Proverbs, if you've been coming on Wednesday nights, you've already seen the scriptures, how the word of God, if you take it properly, links to good health. More than vitamins, more than exercise. God is the key to health. If someone is sick or has a disease, I would say get word saturated. Get word saturated. Search out every scripture on healing. Read it. Pray about it. Talk to God about it. Talk to others about it. But instead, most sick people talk. They spend their time repeating what the doctor said. Right. Well, the doctor said this, and the extra says, and this, I may have this, I may have that. And they spend most of their time what the doctor said or what their body's saying. My body hurts. And how you feel, which is totally contrary to the way God works. Intends for us to operate. Do you know that the Word of God, the very Word of God, has the very life of God in it to be able to bring it to pass? The written Word of God has in it the life of God, the Zoe life of God, to bring that Word to pass in your life. It's in the Word. My wife Pam has a healing CD she made several years ago, and it's on our website. It's free of charge. All you got to do is click on it on our website under resources, and it'll start playing for you. And all she's done is quoted healing scriptures with a very calming voice with music in the background, and you can play that while you go to sleep at night. You're putting the word in your spirit, see. The word has life in it to perform what it says God says he wants to done in your life. I'd urge people, and I've had people do this. I said, you know, when you go in the surgery room, you know, the doctors usually have music playing. Yeah, it may be rock and roll music, whatever they like. You know, the surgeon has music playing in the operating room because they're there for hours, so they just want to, you know, play Margaritaville or something. I don't know what they're doing. You know, they're listening to music. And if you ever have to have surgery, you know what you can say to your surgeon? You work for me, so when you're in this operating room, I want you to play this CD all the time I'm under anesthesia. There you go. Amen. And I've known people that have done that. So you're getting the word of God poured into you, but also that surgical team. Now, they may not like that because they've already got their music to play, but no, you work for me. So while I'm under anesthesia, I want this played. And if you don't do it, at least put the earbuds in my ear because I want to hear it. You can do that. You're paying the bill. Marty, have you ever seen that? You were the operating room nurse. Have they ever done that while you were there? But they play all kinds of music, don't they? And a lot of music you didn't want to hear, probably. Yeah, some of it is just peaceful or whatever. But you can actually have the Word of God going into you. So that's all available to you. That's a free resource there. Proverbs 4:23. Look at this. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Another version says, guard your heart affections. Guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. Movie stars and athletes that make a lot of money and have everything that you think in this world you could ever want to have, many of them have all these things and yet are still miserable. Why? Because their heart's not right. That's why God in his wisdom is saying, the first thing you need to do is guard your heart. I have three granddaughters, and I tell my granddaughters, whether they listen to me or not, I don't know, but I tell them, I'm going to tell you something. You start liking boys, and you want to go dating boys, and this and that. You better guard your heart. Don't let your emotions get wrapped up in this guy and get smoozed by and then think he's all this and that, because if you give him your emotions, guess what? He's going to get all of you. You guard your heart. Protect your heart. Don't get emotionally too deeply attached. You can like somebody, but guard your emotions. So this is Papa talking to them. I don't know if they listen, but I'm telling them what God would say to them. Guard your heart. You see, when I say heart, what do we say when we say heart? See, God made us to where we have a spirit, but we also have a soul. And the heart really is a combination of the spirit and the soul. That's why the Bible says about the word of God, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between soul and spirit. It's able. The word of God is able to discern the difference between what is from the spirit and what is from the soul, which is mind, will, and emotions. So when God created Adam, he says he formed him a physical body out of the dirt. He formed it like a potter forms the clay. Then he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And it says man became a living soul. So Adam actually had a life-giving spirit and a soul in him. And it came into existence, and we call it the heart. Okay. Now, people in the Old Testament were not born again like we are today. They're spirits. So they always had after the fall, there was always opposition. And God said to Adam, the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the day you will die. They did. They didn't die physically. What happened? They died spiritually. A disconnect. What is death? Death is just separation. Separation from your body, your spirit and soul go to be with the Lord if you're a Christian. But when that day happened, their spirit died. There was a separation between them and God. God is a spirit. They that know God and worship God must worship him in spirit. There was a disconnect. Okay. And the sin nature came in after the fall. The day you eat of it is the day you die. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, before you're born again, you are already dead in your trespasses and sins. You're dead spiritually. You have a soul, you have a body, but you're spiritually dead. And that's why Jesus came along and he said, you must be born again. You were born once physically, but you have to be born now by the Spirit of God. Has to happen. So you're born once, you die twice. That means you're not saved. You're going to die physically, but you're already dead spiritually. That means you'll be separated from God forever in hell. But if you're born twice, you're born physically and you're born spiritually, again, you only die once physically. And immediately you go into the presence of God. I'm so looking forward to January. We start preaching on the subject of heaven called home. I'm telling you, I am lit up about it. I told my wife today, I said, you know what? I'm so excited about this. I'm ready to get on the next bus. Praise God. Let's go to heaven, everybody. It's great. You're going to be ready to go. I'm telling you, you're going to be excited. This is going to be phenomenal. Amen. Amen. So, what about today? Where are we today? Well, Galatians 2:20 says this. I am crucified with Christ. This is the Apostle Paul. Born again, Christian. I'm crucified with Christ. What part of me is crucified? Not your soul. You inherited a sin nature from Adam. And now this sin nature, you know, no one had to teach you how to sin. Nobody been to sin school. But who taught you how to lie? Who taught you how to steal? Who taught you how to be mean? Y'all looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. I know you know. I know you better than that. Okay. You were born with a sin nature. You're born once of the flesh. You inherited it from your mom and dad. They inherited it from their mom and dad, and they inherited it from theirs, all the way back to Adam and Eve. After man sinned, he was born with a sin nature, a satanic sin nature. You're like your father, the devil, Jesus said. People who aren't born again are like their father, the devil. Okay? So when he says in Galatians 2:20, we see up there on the screen, I am now crucified with Christ. Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin. And so I, when I received Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior, I am now identified with him on the cross. My sin nature was crucified. I don't have a sin nature if you're born again. Why do I still sin? Because you have flesh that has to be trained. You have a mind that's still got to be renewed, just like a computer has to be reprogrammed. But you don't have a sin nature. And yet there are many translations of the Bible that still speak of a sin nature. That is incorrect. If you're crucified with Christ, what part of you was crucified? The sin nature. You don't have a satanic sin nature. That was crucified. But you still have to deal with flesh. You have to renew your mind. Okay, that's your responsibility. But it's wrong to say you still have a sin nature. You know. You'd be schizophrenic. You mean you have God's nature and you have a sin nature? That's like the old cartoons where you had a little red devil over here on this side and you had a little angel over here. No, you'd be schizophrenic. You are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the very faith of God. God gave you his very own faith of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now that's a heavy-duty subject, and we're just going to touch on this tonight. But also, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, once you're born again, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. That word's a new creature. He never existed before. When you become born again, you're not the old person with a fresh coat of paint on you. You are a creature that never existed before. You were born of the Spirit of God. You're not the same. Now, you think the same, and you still have the same body, but your spirit is brand new. In fact, God's Spirit, the capital, big capital S, and a little spirit here, I'm going to spell it this way, is what happened. Your spirit and God's spirit came together and made one new spirit that never existed in your spirit. In your spirit, you have no sin. In your spirit, you're just wall-to-wall Jesus, but not in your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and not in your body. So that's where the struggle is. The struggle is not with the sin nature. The struggle is with this right here that you have the responsibility to renew with the word and the discipline your body, because your body has been used to being the boss. Amen or oh me.
Amen.
We no longer have a sin nature. Okay. We no longer have a sin nature. We must discipline and rule our flesh. We have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions to renew, and our spirit must become dominant and stronger. We are now in the process. After you're born again, the whole goal of life after you're born again, otherwise you just go to heaven, the whole point of us continuing to live here is learning how to be spirit-led. Romans 8. The whole point of being here before we go is learning how to be spirit-led rather than flesh-led or emotional-led. That's the whole reason we're here. And this is what Solomon said was called wisdom. Wisdom is being spirit-led. Teach me how to hear your voice and follow your lead. Teach me how to listen to you. Teach me how to trust you, not my emotions, not my flesh. So guarding your heart involves controlling your emotions. Your emotions want to dominate you. Do you know that? Jesus said before he left his disciples, he said, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, you have control over this. You have control over your emotions. Right now in Charis Bible study, they're dealing with this particular subject about emotions. The class is tomorrow. Is that correct,
yeah,
Paula? Okay, and I'd encourage you, man, if you can come tomorrow at 10:30, it's a great class, and it's actually dealing with this subject of emotions, harnessing your emotions. It's a great study. So let me close out with this right here, this last slide. You are a spirit who has a soul who lives in a body. Normally, when people talk about the three parts of a human being, they normally say it this way. Watch them. Listen to them. Body, soul, and spirit. That's incorrect order. If you say it that way, then you mean you're more fleshly. You're more prone to see the body as in charge. And then the inner man, the emotions. And then your spirit's going to go to heaven. No. Even God, in His Word, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, quotes spirit, soul, and body, not body, soul, and spirit. Look at it yourself. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Mm-hmm. 5:23, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's always this order. Never body, soul, and spirit. It's spirit, soul, and body. The world has perverted what people are to live like. We're not a body, soul, and spirit. We are a spirit who has a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and lives in a human body. I just did a funeral for the lady... Yesterday, I did the funeral for the lady that I mentioned Sunday. We prayed for the husband and the daughter who moved down here just several weeks ago from New Jersey and just suddenly died of an aneurysm. She was born again, spirit-filled lady, no doubt about that. And you could see her body laying there in the casket. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I see a body of somebody that I knew in this life or I've talked to or been face to face with, when I look at the body, they look different.
Yeah.
I mean, they can put all the makeup they want on them and dress them up, and people say, oh, it looks just like them. Not to me. There's different. You know why? Because they're not in it. Their spirit made that body come alive and have a certain personality and a certain look and a certain way. And without that, it doesn't even look like the same person to me. That's because it's not them. That was just the earth suit. It's not them. So start thinking about you as being a spirit that's going to live forever. Who has a soul, your emotions, you've got to harness. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Don't let your heart be broken. Don't let your heart be stomped on. Guard your heart. But you live in a body. Just temporarily. Heaven's going to be great because we got up there, we ain't going to have any pain. We're not going to have any joint pain. We're not going to have any stiffness. It's going to be awesome. It is going to be really awesome. We're going to be praising so much. Yep, you got all your parts and everything works good. It is going to be awesome, guys. It really is. Let's stand up and just praise God about that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for heaven. Thank you that this life is just temporary. Thank you that the troubles that we're facing today just temporary. They're only for here a little while, and then they're over with. Thank you for home. Thank you, we are a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Now, Paula's got something to say.
Just want to remind everyone, next Wednesday is online only.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Have a great week. The only thing that's going to be happening next week during the week is food pantry. All the classes are taking the week off next week. This week, Karis is 10 o'clock in the morning on Thursday. 8 o'clock on Sundays, and this Friday is 5:30.
Yeah.
Don't miss that.
5:30. Okay. Well, hope to see you there Friday night, 5:30. God bless you, everybody. Bye bye.